Come on, Jesus, you can do it. Please, please, please. Come on, Jesus. On ourselves for not performing the right ways. But you know, you will have your people that won't be so impressed with what you're doing, you know. You be careful who you have around in your circle, I guess. Chakra. But God always reveals hearts, and that's just how His Spirit works. It's not to hurt anybody, and it's not even to, it's not meant to condemn you, but condemnation comes from your own convictions, right? And a lot of people that don't understand the Spirit of God will feel that condemnation and feel like they're being judged from the external, but they're not being judged from outside. They're being judged from their own heart. He says your own heart condemns you in Scripture. Your own heart's the thing that troubles you. He said, you know, David, he used to sleep and he's like, my heart's so troubled, Lord, like, you know, heal me, get rid of it. I can't stand it any longer. And, like, everyone does that, you know. They're like, God, take it from me. And he's like, oh, I've already given you everything to deal with this stuff, you know. I can't take out the things you're doing. You've got to stop doing them. And then your heart will be free and you won't feel the condemnation or you won't feel that heaviness anymore. You'll be set free into the joy that's been prepared for you. So it's not judgment coming from the outside. It's your own heart that condemns you, your own heart that judges yourself. You judge yourself. It's a constant judging because the Spirit judges all things, all right? Or the spiritual man judges all things, it says in Scripture. The spiritual man judges all things. So all the spiritual people out there who are walking in the Spirit of truth are consistently and constantly judging everything that's around them. So even though you don't even want to judge people, but the Spirit in you does the work. He says, the Father in me does the works, Jesus said, right? He goes, I don't do it. He just walks. And why do you think everyone hated him? Because he was perfect holiness and there was nothing bad in him. There was no darkness in him, no sin in him. He always loved perfectly, right? And so when you walk in that spirit of holiness, that condemns people around them. And that's why they're always trying to kill him or get rid of him or remove him. Get him out of here. This guy is annoying me. He's, you know, he's ruining my plans. He's coming into my city and everything's just being, you know, it's just getting, there's destruction everywhere he comes because that spirit comes in and everything. anything around that's not of the spirit of holiness is removed, or it's exposed, or it comes out, and, you know, and then it's got to do something. So some people will yield to that spirit, or they'll recognize it. People that actually want, like, transformation in their life, or they actually want to, they want to grow, they want the maturity, they're over the milk, they want the meat, and they'll go in now and they'll go, okay, now this is the stuff that's hurting me, and they come out of it and they don't yield to that stuff anymore. They yield to the spirit of holiness and they grow in holiness. That's what scripture says. We grow in holiness as a spiritual being. But we try and do it with our minds, we try and do it with our knowledge, you know, like, well, the Bible says we can do this or we can't do that. And I mean, when you're trying to do it from your knowledge rather than the spirit do it, that's when you get like that friction, because it's the spirit trying to control the flesh, trying to control the spirit. Your own thinking, your own mind, your own doing, your own effort. And then so you're trying to do it, and then you're working yourself to the bone, because you can never get it right, because you're not perfect. He is. So it's yielding to the spirit of perfect, the perfect spirit, or the spirit of perfect holiness that does the work through you. It's never with your own thoughts. It's never with your own understanding, your own knowledge. He is the spirit. You know, Isaiah 11:1 talks about the seven spirits of God, and it's the same spirits that are burning in Revelation. So by the time, you know, all the way through the Bible, there's a river of life flowing all the way from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And that river of life comes right down through our whole lives. And we walk out the Bible in this journey in life. We begin in the seed of the woman. We begin in that birthing. And we walk through it, right? And Isaiah 11:1 talks about the seven spirits of God. And it's the spirit of wisdom, understanding, knowledge, fear of the Lord, spirit of the Lord that sits upon, you know, it's like the menorah, the seven, like in the Jewish Bible, they've got the seven candles that are, or the seven lights that are burning in the menorah. That's the seven spirits of God. And they go into all the earth and they do the works of God, right, which is the Holy Spirit. So these same spirits are burning in Revelation. And they burn through your body, they burn through your being. And that's what gives you wisdom. So you're trying to, a lot of people are trying to work with this, like it says in James, the demonic wisdom, right? It's demonic wisdom, and this is where we can get, you know, where the conflict happens. And this is where he talks about don't be yoked to a different spirit, or don't be yoked, or what fellowship does, you know, light have with darkness? None, right? Why? Because their wisdom isn't of heavenly wisdom, their wisdom is of the earthly wisdom, which is demonic, because any earthly wisdom is demonic. Because it doesn't move in the seven spirits of God, who's outside of time. And because he's outside of time, he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Everything has already been done. So we're in here in time, and we're worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. What's going to happen? Are we going to get our money? Is this going to happen? And God's just like, I've already all finished. It's completed. Like, it's done. Now you're just learning to walk it out. And that's why you need me, because I'm out here out of time. You're in time. You can't see how I see. Right? Because you don't know. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways, in Jeremiah. Right? You're inside of time. You can only see so much. Right? But when you're yielded, or when you're yoked to the Spirit of God, who is wisdom, I'll tell you what he is. When you go to the Spirit of God, you partake in that covenant. You partake in his wisdom. He gives you his wisdom. He gives you his knowledge. He gives you his understanding. Because you've come into partnership or agreement. Or you've said, yeah, I'm going to do your will. What is it you want done on the earth? I'll do it for you. And he says, all right, really? I'll give you a little bit, you know? All right. Like, he's looking. It says his eyes are always searching across the earth, to and fro the earth, just looking for one person that's going to say yes. And there's not many. There's a lot of followers, but there's not many leaders. Or there's a lot of people that want to be the chief, but when it comes to the yielding, or it comes to the obedience and saying yes in all the little things, not just the big things. Everyone wants the big thing, the big platform, the big money, the big this, but who's going to be faithful with the little things? You know, who's just going to do the little work, the little stuff? And that's where he trials you. That's where he tests you. That's where he builds character. That's where he burns out the stuff never going to carry you far. Like, you can't have that stuff in you when you're on a platform with a million people. There's no way you'll stand. You'll be taken out quickly by the enemy because you haven't been fortified in light. You need to be fortified in light, and that comes through saying yes and obedience in the small things, right? So you can't do it without him, he says. He goes, without me, what? You can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. Or those who abide in me and me in them, I will give you anything you ask for. And so a lot of people are like, well, why aren't my prayers getting answered? Well, you're not abiding in him. You need to abide in him. I'm recording, babe.
Where's my thing?
Upstairs. I'm trying to find Isaiah. Isaiah 11:1. All right, so there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. And it says in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of what? Wisdom. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you don't have the fear of the Lord, or if the fear of the Lord isn't before your face, you're never going to obey him all the way. Because you don't fear him, not in a judgmental fear, really just going to smash you down if you don't do the right thing fear, but a fear to know that he is in control and he's outside of time and he already knows everything, right? And he's testing and trialing and building and breaking. There's a breaking that happens in the spirit, you know? There's a breaking and a brokenness because his spirit rests on a contrite, a broken and a contrite heart, right? Like it says in Psalms. About David, he says, you know, like he's been broken. There's a crushing and a breaking and a crushing and a breaking, and it has to happen because we have to get ourselves out so he can come in. This is a spirit of holiness. There's no darkness. He has no fellowship with darkness. It's not about us and our fleshy self or in this human body going and into, you know, a sinner's lives and you know, ministering into them. It's the spirit of holiness. Will not live inside of a body where there's any spirit of darkness. Those darkness spirits are driven out by the spirit of holiness, and he takes over your entire vessel. And he comes out of your eyes, comes out of you, and you move and have your being now inside of him. So these seven spirits of God. And then he says, his delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes. So we don't judge by what we see. The Spirit judges through us, right? Nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge. And he's talking about Jesus here. This is Isaiah prophesying Jesus. This man's going to come and he's going to have all these seven spirits on his life. And when he walks, these things are going to come from him, wisdom, understanding, knowledge. We're going to get the manifestation of wisdom in the earth, the manifestation of understanding, counsel, might, the spirit of might. The spirit of might goes in, and when the spirit of might comes in, it has no fear. It's just like raw, you know, and it just demolishes strongholds. It demolishes wicked powers and principalities that see themselves in heavenly places above people's souls, and it gets them off them. It has absolutely no fear. It doesn't fear ISIS. It goes into ISIS and they run the other way because this is the spirit of might that comes in. This is God Almighty himself, right? The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. There is no fear. You can't do this religiously. You can't do this with religion because it won't work. It hasn't worked for centuries. We've seen what religion does. It just causes friction, division and wars, and people are still trying to get it in their head. But they won't give over their souls, or they won't give over their hearts and their lives to the Spirit just to control them and just to say yes. And he'll test you all the way. He'll say, go and do this, and just to see if you'll listen, to see if you can hear. He brings your hearing clearly. He gives you clarity of mind. He removes everything that blocks you from being obedient, not to the law, obedient to hearing his voice. So he can tell you to go here and you know what he's saying and you just go and do it, you know? I remember there was this lady and she had to go to the airport. He told her, the Spirit of God said to her, you know, you're going to go and fly over country. She didn't have any money. So he said, go and sit at the airport. I'm going to send a man to you to give you the ticket, the money for the ticket. And she's just like, okay. And so she went and she sat there at the airport. Next minute, this guy comes up to her and he says, are you needing money for an air ticket by any chance? And she's like, yes. And then he gives her the money for the air ticket. And she just like goes and buys it. Like, this is just normal Christianity. This is just how Christianity should be. Just normal Christianity. Imagine if everybody walked in that type of obedience, we wouldn't have this crap going on. There'd be no hierarchy in the pyramids. There'd be no rich people and poor people. It would be equal because everybody would be obedient and be giving to everybody how you're meant to give or do what God tells you to do. And you would just do it without even considering anything else. Why? Because you know he's perfect and his destiny is for you and his goodness is always going to come on your life and he's always going to be your favored, highly favored. You believe his words and you just see him in action, right? So you always do what he tells you to do. There's no fear of being not accepted or no fear of not knowing what's going to happen tomorrow. Like, you just walk and you trust your God. He's your father, you know, and fathers look after their kids, right? They discipline them when they need it. They correct them when they need it and they love them. Like, it's just a fatherly love, right? And he takes care of his kids, not like Satan, who wants his kids suicidal and in jail and full of sex and drugs and just hidden and, you know, division and just fighting and just messy, you know. That's the fathering of Satan. You can see it clearly in the earth. The fathering of God's children is completely different. It's all about elevating you. First he breaks you, he puts his spirit in you, and then he leads you in perfectly. But he brings you in humbly as well. He will humble you to the point where you will know that he is the Lord. Right? And you've got to be ready for that because that comes upon your life. And sometimes it's scary because you don't know what's going on. I mean, when that happened to me, I was kind of like, is this Satan? I was so used to living inside of Satan that when God appeared, I was like, you're Satan. Because I didn't know any other way. Like, I honestly thought it was Satan. But it wasn't. It was actually just the almighty, powerful God. It took me a while to actually get used to that. As you could imagine. Could you imagine? It was like Acts chapter 2 with Saul when he was walking down the street. Saul was going to kill the Christians. He had already killed all the Christians. And he was walking. He was like the head chief religious. He had been right through Jewish Bible school. He knew the Torah inside out. He had the Old Testament back of the head. He knew everything. Saul was the number one, right? And he hated anybody that said Jesus is the Messiah because it threw his doctrines and his theologies out the window. And he didn't like that because it offended his human wisdom. And when you offend the demonic human wisdom, they get offended and they're like, well, you must be Satan, right? They always come against it. But that's what Saul did. But God, Jesus, appeared to him as an angel of light. So he comes to him and is walking down Acts chapter 2. He's on his way to go and kill more Christians, persecute them because they, you know, they're following this make-believe Messiah who's put himself as God. And God's just got him. The angel of the Lord's appeared to him, not the angel of the Lord, but Jesus in the New Testament has just, bang, got him with the light. The guy's on the ground. He's like, Jesus, what do you want with me? You know, he even knew then in that moment that that light was Jesus because he got the revelation into his spirit, right? And then he's got up and he's like, now he's blinded. He can't see a thing. And he's like, now go. Jesus said to him, as he appeared to him, he's like, now go to this house. This guy's going to pray for you, open your eyes, you're going to be my apostle, and you're going to go and preach the gospel now and tell everybody what's happened. The fact that he said to him, you know, you're going to hell now, he's like, no, I like that you just persecuted everyone. Now I'm going to make you humbled, and now you're going to go and preach the gospel and see how it is for you. And then he's like, okay. Anyway, don't know where I'm going with that. Anyway, so the spirit of wisdom, spirit of understanding, spirit of knowledge, spirit of might, it all came from Jesus. And that's the New Testament, that's it. I don't know, we just got cut off on our internet thing. It's 9 o'clock. So anyway, so we're in a time capsule here, right? And God's out there with all the angels, with the big cloud of witnesses. Everybody can see you. Everyone's watching you. watching you partake in your little part. You know, the cloud of witnesses are all the martyrs that have gone before us, right? All the ones that brought the wisdom down into the earth. What's wisdom? Spirit of wisdom. Who carries the wisdom? The vessels of God, right? They have the covenant, a marriage covenant with God. So he talks to them. They're called the friends of God, or the friends of the bridegroom in scripture, it says. They're the friends of God. So anyone that says that the Holy Spirit isn't for this time aren't a friend of God, because they're not getting the wisdom from God, obviously, because they don't say that, they say that's not him, right? So they cut themselves off. Or it says in scripture, they seal them, they cut themselves off out from the Spirit. They cut themselves off from the Spirit because it doesn't line up with their theology. And when it doesn't line up with your theology or your earthly wisdom, he can't move through you. He can't get through you because you don't want it. Anyway, I forgot to record that bit too, but that's okay. Never mind. We have these little teething problems here. So we're inside of time. He's outside of time. We partner and we're covenanted to the Spirit of God who knows and sees all things. He says, who knows your heart? The Spirit of God. He searches the hearts of the people, right? So he searches the hearts of the people just like he did with Judas, who was the treasurer, may I just add. And what happened with Judas? He walked as the disciple, right? There was 12 of them, 12 apostles, 12 disciples walking with Jesus. And one of them was what? A devil, right? He was the treasurer. He looked after the money. And what did they do? The religious, or the ones who wanted what Jesus had but didn't know how to get it, said, hey, let's go and conspire and do this. Tell us where Jesus is going to be. So he sold him out. Didn't he? That's what happens in the Bible. If you read the Bible, probably should. It says he sold him out. They paid him a little bit of silver and gold. He took that. And what happened? He hung himself. That was his destiny then. He cut himself off from what was God. He would have walked as like a man. He would have been in the great cloud of witnesses now, watching down and looking upon us with the great martyrs, Peter, Paul, Matthew, all of them, right? But instead, his destiny, he sold out for what? A bit of silver and gold, and he ended up on a tree dead. Like, what an idiot. Why would you do that? Because you can't. Why? Because you're attached to earthly wisdom, and that was what he was yielded to, because his eyes were on the on mammon, dark matter, money. That's what he was. That was what he was more. He was more concerned about that at that time, because you're inside of time. And today you might not have money, or tomorrow you might not have the money. And you can't see it. God can, but your eyes are here, and they're fixed in this little circle of time. Your covenant. You're cutting yourself from the covenant, or from the perfect destiny. That's why you can't do that. You can't be inside and your eyes focused on that. Your eyes are focused on Jesus, and you let his Spirit pour through you, and then he will take care of you. And you just trust that, right? But the treasurer sold out, stealing. They wasted their, cut themselves off from destiny. He could have repented, but he didn't have time because Jesus was going. It was too late. It was the last, it was the end times right then, right? It was the last day, but now we're in the last day of the last day. You know, on the third day, they'll raise him up. On the seventh day, we enter the rest. So seventh day is 1 day is 1,000 years in scripture. And we're in what? Year three. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus has been on the earth. That's 2,000 years of his Spirit pouring in upon all generations. And this is the last generation who will walk in the power and the glory that will change every person. And they will either go hang themselves, or they will join the army. There's no other way. This is it. Like, they don't have a choice. It's one or the other. And so those who love the Lord, or love glory, love transformation, love growth, love maturity, want all the good things of heaven, that eternal resurrection power to move through their life, they'll yield to that. They'll covenant that. They'll partner with that at all costs. And then they begin to hear clearly, and they walk humbly. They walk knowing their God confidently. Not like little puppies, like begging for more of Jesus. They walk in power and authority because they know their king. They know who they're married to, right? They never, ever sell out. They never, ever go this way or that way. They're not married to earthly wisdom. They can see now clearly because they have the spirit of sight. They have the spirit of wisdom because they married it. They came out of that earthly wisdom. Okay, got all that? Good. All right. No worries, if someone knocked the internet out, we cut off. I'll be with you in one sec. That's it. I'm going finished. Woo, shugger. Anyway, God bless you guys. So partner with the spirit of wisdom. There's no other wisdom. Talks about in James 5:5 very quickly. That's what he told me this morning. James 5:5 talks about the rich oppressors that are going to be judged in all the earth. So the sons of God will get all the money, all the glory. We get all the power. We get all the wealth. Did you know there's a wealth transfer in the kingdom? It's true. Wealth transfer. We get the wealth. Thank you, God, for it. The sons of God will walk in the last day. They won't be greedy. They won't be tight. They won't be all for their own hearts and selfishness. They've been, you know why they're humble? Because they've been messed up by society. They've been broken. They've lived the life of hardship. They've seen it all, done it all. Now they just want the perfect. They just want God. You know, they're sick of the religion, they're sick of the crap, they're sick of the tradition. They just want God. They're all searching for it, but they can't find it because there's too many programs or too many functions or too many institutions to get through. It's been blocked, right? But it's coming forth now through the sons of God, by the power of God, in every vessel, and it's going to come in a vessel that's humble, and it's going to come in a vessel that the rich or the learned and the well-educated and those who think they know everything, they won't be able to receive it from the packages that's coming in now, and it's going to blow the mind. It's called the misfits. Those that have gone through, you know, troubles, trials and tribulations, they're coming out of the tribulation now. They're the great army of God. They're going to be risen up, and they're going to walk in great power and authority, and their words are performed. Every time they speak, demons flee. Every time they speak, they shake and tremble and they run from people. There's no more oppression in the earth. It's for free. Everybody gets it. And we will give it to everybody for free, just to mess up people's minds, just to mess up the plans of the enemy. That's what people do. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached your ears, the Lord of the Sabbath. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter, and you've condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. Therefore, be patient, brethren. This is to you guys. He says, so it's talking about the rich oppressors that they're going to be judged. Their day is coming, right? He says, be faithful to me, faithful in the small things. Marry my part, marry my spirit. Be covenanted in my spirit. Don't be deceived into any programs. You are the sons of God. Where in Romans it talks about we're waiting. The whole of creation is waiting for the birthing of these sons of God. Where are they? Where are the sons? They're crying out, come, come, children of God, come. Children of promise, come and walk in your power. Wake up to who you are and start walking in this stuff so we can get rid of these evil and wicked rulers that keep people under oppression and try and sell souls for the money or sell the anointing, you know, selling the anointing so they can have nice places to worship. You know, you can't do that. It's all going to be judged through you, your body. You're the one that doesn't, as long as you marry the God, marry the Spirit. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmers waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. We're in the latter rain now. It talks about it in Joel. Who are these ones? Joel's army, 333, right? Joel's army, they bring in the latter rain, which is the glory, and it pours in the earth and judges all evil. You're also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Don't grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door, my brethren. Take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count on them and blessed or endure. You're blessed and endure. And you have heard the perseverance of Job and blah, blah, blah. And that's the end of that. So be totally blessed. We will just put on one little song, but not on here. Because they will block me. Yeah, that's the one. Anyway, God bless you guys. Partner with Royal Street Ministries. You are literally partnering with the throne of God. This will break through every spiritual blockage you've got in your life. RoyalStreet.com. God bless you guys. See you next week. Wait, I'm still broadcasting. Oops. before.